Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Meet Matthew Orlando, who transformed his life from unhealthy habits to a beacon of health and well-being. In this episode, Matthew shares his journey of self-discovery, overcoming challenges, and adopting sustainable lifestyle changes. His story is a powerful testament to the possibility of change, providing practical advice and inspiration for anyone looking to embark on their own path to wellness. Matthew, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, bro. How's your day going?
Going well, man. Glad to be here. Glad to have you on the Militant Grind podcast, man. It's always good to have new people, hear a new story, and hear a new trial of resilience. So I assume you're an East Coast guy.
Canada, man. Yeah. Toronto.
Canada?
Yes, sir.
Golly, you guys are like, man, you guys are on the Militant Grind podcast like crazy. I meet so many Canadians, man.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to hear, man.
Yeah, Toronto or where?
Yep, Toronto. I grew up Toronto, Niagara, all in that area.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So are you French?
So my background is half Italian, and then their side is French and Hungarian, but grew up in a very Italian culture, and that's what played into being overweight, right? It's very food-dominated culture.
Bro, you want to know what's funny? I talked to a guy, the interview I had right before. This guy, he's from New York, and he's Italian, and we basically talk about how the Black culture, African-American culture, and Italian culture is just all about, like, food, eating, and a lot of us are overweight, and how crazy it is. How, say, if you were to lose weight or get skinny and you go around like our cultures, people look at you, are you okay? What's wrong with you?
Right. No one will say anything to you, but you're like, you lose weight and they're like, oh my God, you got to eat. What's wrong with you? But you could be obese and no one really bats an eye, man. So it's culture is geared towards eating and family and it brings that together, but can also create very bad habits.
Yeah, man. No, it definitely can, bro. I remember I worked at this lady's house, like doing security. And after the party, so basically during the party, she was like, do you want anything to eat? Do you want a protein shake? What do you want? What do you need? I was like, oh, shit. Okay, give me a protein shake. Okay, here's your protein shake. After, she was like, she was going crazy. Like, I'm talking about, I was like, is this lady okay? She was in her refrigerator pulling out all kind of food. Yes. Like, it was filled with so much food, bro. Like, containers, plastic containers. And she was like, what do you want? You want this? You want these cookies? You want this? I'm like, damn. And one thing she told me, she was like, I'm Jewish and Italian. You're going to eat over here. And I was, bro, and it was, like, so aggressive. You know what I'm saying? She was like, I don't even want you to feel hungry.
It's almost offensive if you don't take it,
bro. Right? Yeah, so I feel like I had to because she was like, take this home, take this. I was like, God damn, lady, sheesh. You know what I'm saying? When you observe different cultures, you start to be like, maybe I should take something or eat something because this person's going to continuously be on me. So I could see how that could contribute to an unfavorable or unhealthy lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you're getting it from all angles, everyone's like that. And it's a love language to them when you're getting it from everywhere. And that's all you know. And that's all that creates those habits. And then eventually it catches up to you.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, man. Yeah. Because it's so hard for me sometimes. I'm like, man, I want to go to this fried chicken spot or I want this, I want that. But then it's no, you have to be disciplined. But then it's so funny how like different food places are like strategically placed in different communities for them to continue to be unhealthy and overweight.
Yeah, like you really see it. And now for me, living in Western Canada, going home is where I really started noticing these things, where the culture shock and difference and just the pace of life and how it's based around food. And it really opens your eyes. It's interesting for sure. And just talking about being disciplined with the food, that's really the ultimate form of discipline. My eyes, right? There's not many things we have control over in our life, our thoughts, our actions, but physically, what you pick up every day and put in your mouth is one of the only things you can control. So that really for me is where when I lack discipline, because it wavers for me back to the food and really lock that in, then I find it snowball into all areas.
Man, one time when I went, my family's from Chicago. So they're into all the Italian food, Italian beef. I have to get Italian beef, bro. There's no way I can go to Chicago and not do it.
Oh
But
no.
then it was like after I was eating all of those foods, I had this sharp pain in my stomach where I was like, man, I don't know what the like I might have to go to the hospital. Like I couldn't move because it was so different than how I usually eat at home. And I'm like, man, next time I go to Chicago, I have to get like my own place where I could just go to Trader Joe's or something, buy some food and make my own food there. Because if I go for a week, there's no way I could eat like the typical Chicago person. That is not gonna work for me.
Shock the body, it really does.
So I
That's
assume,
what.
oh, go ahead. No, so I assume just by looking at your physique and your what we already talked about, were you overweight growing up?
I was always on the heavier side, nothing crazy, a little bit pudgy. And then I was 19 years old when me and my girlfriend at the time had our first kid, and then I got the pregnancy weight with her, got comfortable, right? With you see it all the time, and you run out, grab her food, you get the lovey-dovey stage, and you get comfortable with each other, and you start eating. And then I had really packed it on, and I was well over 300 pounds at one point for quite a few years, man.
Just looking at your figure now, I'm like, this guy is, you're a pretty, you like big everywhere, hands, everything. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you kind of, you got those genetics where it's, man, no matter what, you always are just gonna be a big guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what made you go from like being over 300 pounds? You're what, like 230 now or something?
I'm around 200,
200? Okay. So
over
you
200.
lost a, so you lost 100 pounds.
Yes, sir,
That
over.
is, bro, that is not an easy feat at all. So how was that transition for you? What made you say, you know what, man, I'm gonna take control of my life and I'm gonna lose 100 pounds?
It's something that builds up. You have it in the back of your head for a little bit. You know you need to change. It weighs on you. You have a voice in you that knows. It says, hey, you're better than this. You deserve better. But for me, honestly, there was one kind of turning point. And I do remember the day I was working in Western Canada in the oil field pipelining. And we have some time off, which we call breakup when the snow melts. And I was drinking, using drugs, partying, just on a bender, doing this what the lifestyle is up here, right? Pipelining, doing all that kind of shit. And I went on a pretty bad bender, man. And I just remember waking up and I went and looked in the bathroom mirror and like, when I was close to my heaviest, man, well over 300 pounds. And I looked in the mirror and I just was like, I could see death in my face. I could see it. I felt it. I was like, man, you're going to die if you keep this up. It might not be tomorrow, it might not be next week, but you're gonna die. And I was like, you gotta change, man. You gotta make the change.
Now, your daughter was born, right?
Yes.
So you only do you only have one kid?
Two kids. So and at this point, I had two daughters.
Oh, that's
But
amazing.
yeah.
So was
So
that an important driver for you to lose weight? Like just thinking about, man, I'm a father, I have a daughter, and I have to get myself together.
100%. Looking in the mirror, I'm like, maybe, man, 6 years. I'm like, six more years of this. I'm like, you'll be dead for sure. Heart attack, something. I'm like, the kids are in the other room. I'm like, you're partying, living the spoiled lifestyle. I'm like, this is not like, you're better than that. And at that point, I just made a decision to change. I didn't have it all figured out, but unfortunately, it takes that like one event where you're like, it scares you. And then you're like, okay, I'm gonna make the change.
That's amazing, man. And it's often like crazy to me how people don't understand how important that is when you like have people that are depending on you, depending on your life to survive, and you're still resistant of making that change for them. And sometimes
That's
I'm
right. How
like,
many people do we hear say that?
oh, you said how many people what?
How many people do we hear say all the time, like, I'm going to do it for my kids, or I want to live the best life for my kids, and then end up setting a bad example for them, right?
And so did you have an example growing up where it was like, okay, this person is fit, et cetera, things like that?
I didn't. No, absolutely not. I had no one. There was nobody close to me that was fit, and I wouldn't say they're all out of shape, but I really knew worked out. But when I come up here to Western Canada, I'd stayed with a distant cousin of mine, and he was in the fitness, and he made me work out, but I wasn't into it at that time. I didn't want to do it. He made me go, but I absorbed it. And when I decided to make the change, that helped. And it's like, you could show people what to do and tell them what to do, but until they're ready, they're not going to do it till they find it on their own.
That is true, though. And one thing I do say is that you have to still show them because you never know when it's gonna hit. Say, my younger brother, I used to force him. I used to wake him up at 4 o'clock in the morning. All right, man, come on, we're gonna go running at the beach because I live like right across the street from the beach. And he would get up. But then it's also, you don't want to seem like a weakling in if you're around somebody that's an alpha. If you're a real man, you don't want an alpha to make you feel weak. That is one of the worst feelings ever because they're gonna make you feel worse. You know what I'm saying? Like if you show them any type of weakness, they're gonna dig in your ass for years. And so I guess he felt that and he was like, nah, man, I can't. I gotta get up. He even threw up a few times. But now if you look at him and you see what he's doing, you'll be like, wow, that all of that made a huge difference in his life. It's amazing. And now hearing your story, man, I didn't want to. Of course you don't want to because you were 300 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like that's pretty difficult. But it's a good thing that like somebody was able to give you the best of them, and now it played a part in your life later.
Very fortunate, man. And I think your brother is as well. And he probably didn't appreciate it at the time, but you absorb those things. And that's real love to me, is making him go, for him.
And so, did you just start this journey on your own, or were you working with somebody, or what actually clicked?
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I just know I needed to change. So I'm like, hey, I'm gonna start going to I started going to the gym, and then I would mark it on a calendar, like how much I went. And I got to six, and I took a break, and then I kept going, and I kept marking it. And then I got on like a streak of 30 before I broke. And then I kept going, and eventually I got to a streak of 394 days straight. I went to
What?
the yes. Yeah, just looking at that calendar, making those marks, taking like you, I got addicted to it, right? And I was so afraid of going back that I just kept going. But it's honestly, at that point, I was doing myself more harm, right? Like, you do need to rest, but that's really where I learned discipline and pushing myself and doing that. And like I said, I didn't know. I started at first, I was like, I'm gonna eat a vegetarian. I didn't know anything. I was like, vegetarians are healthy, so I'm like, vegetarian food, but I was just like covering stuff in cheese. You know what I mean? Like, can't just cover green vegetables in a bunch of cheese and think you're gonna be healthy. And then I was like, okay, I'm like, I'll eat vegan. I'm like, vegans are healthy, right? And I'm like, I did that for, say, 2 years, but that's the same thing where I was like eating whole foods, like vegan protein bars, but I was just dipping them in almond butter. And I'm like, man, almond, like, Almond butter is full of calories, man. Like you can't just eat a part of that shit and think you're gonna get skinny. So a lot of trial and error, man.
Yeah, bro, I did all that. I was a vegan before. That was probably a. I'm like, you know what? Vegans are healthy. Let me do that. And, bro, that was horrible. Good Lord. Like, my mind was telling me, you need to eat some meat. You need to eat some meat. And I had like crazy
Right,
cravings.
yeah.
Yeah.
The best part of it.
You said that's a part of it?
No, I said, what's the what was did you find the best part of being doing the vegan diet?
Nothing.
Do you even enjoy it?
No, not at all. I maybe manipulated myself to keep going. You know what I mean? That probably was the thing. It was like, okay, I watched What the Health. Okay, I want to be the best. Of course, I'm into fitness, so why wouldn't I want to look good? But then I ended up losing a lot of weight and I just really wasn't feeling how I was looking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I did lose a lot of fat. That's one thing for sure. Like, I had my stomach was right, all of that. I lost a hell of a lot of fat. But then I felt like I could lose fat in a different way, but it was just, it was just hard, man. I'm not sure if it was because of like, but then I, you know what? Okay, so I'm gonna tell this story. So I was a vegan at the time and I was going to the gym and I went to a gym in a predominantly Asian and white area. So there was this older black man that see me. He was like, oh, it's a young black guy here. Let me talk to him. You know what I'm saying? You know how it is. So I talked to him and he was like, yeah, man, I read this book. It's called Eat Right for Your Blood Type.
Yes, I've read that.
And so he was like, yeah, man, ever since I read that book, I don't eat meat. I don't eat red meat. I don't eat this. And he was like, but he felt good and he had a confirmation. He said, okay, I read this book. Cool. But my lady, she was like, oh, yeah, I heard about that. I'm type A and type A is better off vegan. And I didn't know my type at the time. So I was like, okay, yeah, cool. She could do the vegan thing with me and she'll be all right. So while I was having cravings, she was okay. And I'll text her, I'll be like, oh my God, I need to eat some meat. I smell chicken. Like my mind was going crazy. She'll be like, it's okay. Hold it in. I'll be like, do you feel this way? She was like, no, not at all. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like we live together. Like we eat the same. You know what I'm saying? But I was the one going through this. Like I didn't drink, smoke, or nothing like that. So it couldn't have been anything else. I'm like, all right, cool. So I listen to the guy, I buy the book. I don't know my blood type, so I buy an at-home blood type thing where you pinch yourself and then it'll change depending on what blood type you are. So then I do the blood test. I'm like, okay, all right, I think it says I'm type O. Cool. All right, I'm O. I open the book, I go to type O, and it says meat eater.
Yes.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, so this is why I feel this way, and this is that, and the third. I was like, oh, but I could have, both of my parents are old, so I could have asked them. But I was like, let me figure it out. And then I was like, you know what? If I do eat meat, I just have to eat a cleaner type of meat and also incorporate vegetables and also don't eat so much wheat and sugar. And to be honest, man, people think that, okay, I'm type O, so I could eat meat. But we have the worst diet restrictions when it comes to the blood type diet. You
Type
know,
O.
yeah, type O. What type are you?
What's funny, I don't actually know, but I want to say I'm type O because I listened to the book and not knowing, I'm like, you're listening to it and it's like this. I'm like, yeah, I do feel good when I eat like that. What's funny, I always used to say, I'm like certain foods like steak, I feel like I could, it just sits well with me. It does, I don't feel like my body holds fat. It digests easy. I feel good. If I eat six almonds, I feel like I got a love handle. So I was already aware of that. So listening to that, I'm like, typo,
Yeah, type O is pretty common though. So it wouldn't be like a surprise if you were. But then it's okay, I'm type O. But then there's so much stuff that you can't eat or do on type O. Where it's like, damn, it sucks because it's, don't eat dairy, don't eat sugar, don't drink alcohol. Because I would always, bro. Matter of fact, last night I woke up in the middle of the night this morning because I had heartburn, right? And I was like, what did I eat that gave me heartburn? Because type O, we have a high stomach acid. So then I was like, oh, it says don't eat black pepper. And I ate the pastrami that had all of this black pepper on it. So that's
Right.
why. Type O, you can't drink coffee. Damn, I can't drink coffee. Like you can't enjoy anything. But then it was like, what if meat wasn't bad? It's more so what else we're eating on top of eating meat.
I agree. It's adding those like little the extra things in and just being conscious, not having too much with the typo, but I do feel better when I listen to it to be honest.
Yeah, same here, bro. Now I'm on a diet where it's like I'm just eat the foods that are highly beneficial for type O, and I can eat them every day. The foods that they said that okay, I should eat beef is highly beneficial. I'm like, man, anytime I have a choice, I'm picking beef anyway. You know what I mean? Off top, I'm never gonna pick chicken over beef ever, never. I even be sometimes I'm like, maybe I should no.
Listening to your body, you
Yeah,
feel
that's
the reason.
bro. That has been one of the most important things because once you try different diets, like what you did, you start to say, okay, how am I responding to this? Like when you switch things up, you really get to see how your body responds to different diets and different things. Now it's more so, okay, because sometimes if I have a crazy workout, my body will be like, you need to eat some red meat because we need to repair these muscles. So, yeah, I crave it.
Absolutely.
And bro, it's like it blew my mind. So some people like, are you on a diet? Are you on this? I'm like, nah, man, not really. I mostly just go with how I feel. That's
And
really what it.
there's a reason, right? And I think we neglect that, and it takes a little bit to get in tune with that and be more conscious of it. There's a reason why you're feeling like this. And it was interesting to me when you said, hey, me and my girl are eating the same thing. How come you feel good and I don't? Different things work for different people. But at the end of the day, it's you can make any diet unhealthy or healthy. It's the correct macronutrient intake and conscious of that and what your goals are.
Right. Yeah, man. And that's so. Are you into the fitness space? Do you coach people or anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the most difficult things because I was on a podcast and somebody was like, so tell me how it is for a typical client. If they come out, I'm like, bro, I can't. Everybody is so different. Like, I even ask people, do you know your blood type? Before they come into me, or what's your culture? What do people, I ask their culture because it's more so like this. What do people in your culture eat? You know what I'm saying? Basically, how did they eat before they came westernized or came to the States? And that basically defines how you should be eating right now because your body just developed that body, your genetics developed that, I'm saying, way of life for so long. Your little 100 years is not really gonna break it. You know what I'm saying? It's still gonna be that way.
That's right. Like your DNA's learned to survive off of that and adapted to it. So I definitely agree with that. And everyone is different, right? What works for one person is not necessarily going to work for another person. And I do tell my clients that to be very conscious, right? Because I'll have them carb cycling sometimes. And I'm like, hey, pay attention how you feel on these days with the high carbs, or how do you feel when you're having a lot of fat in your diet? Can you handle it? When are you hungry the most? So being very conscious of these things, right? Do you need food at a certain time? Can you go to sleep hungry, or do you need to eat at night? These little things, really being in tune with it is really going to help you.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. 'Cause like somebody like me, I can't go to sleep hungry. There's no way. Like my body is, but then when you think about it, if you're 200 pounds and you're mostly muscular, your body is burning calories like that. You know what I mean? Like, where's it gonna get this energy source from if you almost gonna start eating your muscle up, which you probably don't want to do. So say if somebody else who was 200 and had more fat, they'll be like, oh, I could fast and I'll be cool. That's when I shred up. You know what I'm saying? But then this man, it's just
Funny,
so.
like almost the.
I'll use that way.
I was saying it's almost like the more muscle you have and the more weight you lose, like the more hungry
Oh.
you end up, right? Your body's a fine tune. It's an engine. It's just like, give me food all the time.
Man, I don't know when I am not hungry. I'm hungry right now. But then when I started thinking about, I had to switch my mindset up when it came to that, because it's like this. If we lay in the bed and don't do anything all day, we don't even know how many calories somebody like me and you need. They say 2,000, but that's for the average person. If we both get on the BMI scale, how tall are you?
5'9".
Oh yeah, you're for sure overweight on the BMI scale. They're not
According
calculating
to
it. Yeah, according to that, you're overweight off top. Like, I'm the same thing. So it's okay. They say we need 2,000 calories, but somebody that's muscular, that's burning all of these calories, it will basically say, when you're just sitting alone, you may need to eat 3,000 calories just for your body to function and survive without you moving a muscle. So imagine if you're working out too and you're burning 1,000 calories while you work out. Think about how much food you have to eat. But then they conditioned us to say, the more you eat, the worse it is. It's, no, you don't want to. You want to do this, you want to do that. It's no, we do have to eat in order to function. And
Right.
I got
It is.
caught up in that.
I agree with that. And that's like you said, switching the mind state too of it's interesting you said laying down all day. I'm like, you'll eat when you're bored. Agree, but it's like switching the mindset to like, because I'm like, I'm hungry all the time. Like I'm hungry right now, like you said. But I'm like, am I just experiencing hunger, which is a hormone, that feeling of like your stomach rumbling, or do I actually need fuel right now? Is my do I have a bit of brain fog? Am I moving slow? Do I need to fuel my body, or am I just bored and I just feel hungry? So really being conscious of that and then acting on that.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's not, say, I feel it, but then it's, I might eat 2 hours from now. But then I got to be careful about what I eat and things like that. But it's just so much that goes into this, man. It's insane. And then it takes years of learning, years of trial and error, years of trying diets, years of, okay, carb cycling works. Okay, no, it doesn't work. Okay, this works. Okay, no, it doesn't work. Okay, now I found it. You know what I'm saying? But then it also depends on what your goals are and what you want to eat and things like that. So, what are some of the main roadblocks that you see when it comes to people that come to you and say, "Hey, I want to be just like you. How do I do it? What do you come across?"
You're going to see a lot of people. I think they think it's one big thing or some kind of secret where it's a very simple blueprint. It's not easy, but it's simple and it's doing it day in and day out. And I really realized that blueprint for me because when I decided to get healthy, I didn't have a vision of the physique I have now. I knew I needed to change and I just started day by day. And then one day I jumped out of the shower. And I could see like the outline of my six pack. And then the light bulb went off for me. I was like, hey, it's not like it wasn't one big change I made. It was like these 20 little habits that I've been doing every single day. These little things that aren't sexy to do every day. How many days in a row can you execute those? Right? Because a lot of people will come on the program, they're very excited, they get going, but I'm like, okay, 2, 3 weeks in, you're dieting, you have a long day at work. Can you keep up with those little things? And that really will determine your success and longevity to push through those days.
Yeah, it definitely is a lot simpler than what you think, though. Definitely. Yeah, because it's like the discipline really isn't hard if you just eliminate the distractions and the things that are trying to take you away from the discipline. And so, you know what? I'm not gonna go here, because if I go there, I'm gonna end up eating wings, and I know that's bad for me. So I'm not even gonna enter that restaurant and hang out with my friends.
Sometimes that's the way it's got to be, and you got to create an environment conducive to your goals. And sometimes that might require you to be a little bit lonely, but as you start changing, attract other people that are on the same mission as you. It's going to happen, and I'm sure you've seen it. As you change, people like they might say something at first, but people will make fun of me and eating at work and doing stuff, and then like later they're like, hey, like the same motherfuckers will ask you for advice, right?
That's it's some people are resistant to change, and then they don't understand. Say some people, like any woman that I date, will be like, "Man, why does this guy eat like this? Like, he only eats oatmeal and turkey sausage and this type of milk and organic this and organic that. And they're just, and then when they say, if they get with me, their body starts changing too, because they're adopting the same habits that I have. If you're in the house with me, there's non-negotiables. No, high fructose corn syrup does not enter my house. You're not feeding that to my children. That's not happening. Pork is not allowed in my house. This is not allowed in my house at all whatsoever. No exceptions. But then I also know that, like, some people, okay, so I'll tell you like this. I grew up in a super healthy household. Like, my dad, if I showed you my parents right now, you'll be like, wow, mom has never gained weight, had four kids, had three kids back to back, 86, 87, 88. Never was fat, ever. Not even a picture you could find. But her diet was so disciplined, where it's like, there was no way she could get fat or gain weight. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like magic. So then we're growing up in the household eating, we start off vegetarian as kids, eating healthy, et cetera. Okay, cool. Now we're out in the world and we have our own households. So some of us was like, you know what? I'm dealing with a spouse or whatever, and they're not really about all that. So I'm going to allow all this stuff in my house. And you could just see the changes in bodies depending on which family that you're looking at. You know what I mean? Who kept up the tradition? I for sure did. You know what I'm saying? But some of my siblings didn't. And it's, what? You're feeding your kids this? What? Y'all are eating this? You're eating pork now? And this is at the third? But then it's just, at the end of the day, is that individual's responsibility. Nobody's going to force you to do it. Because it's crazy how every time I hear a story, is a lot of the typical North American, man, I was fat and I got my mom and then I lost weight. You know what I'm saying? But me, is I never was fat. I never weighed over 220, like nothing like that. So I've always been on point, but it's just interesting how some people are afforded like a healthy lifestyle, and then they decide to go astray, and they're okay with that.
And do you see that affect them negatively?
Yeah, hell yeah. Because you, especially a woman.
Yeah.
If you're a woman and you're overweight, that shrinks your dating opportunities dramatically.
100%. That's your biggest value, right? That's a men's biggest value in women, is their looks.
Yeah.
That's their number one attractor to them. Right. And that's reality of life. So it's definitely more important to them. And saying that in the household, like when I had first started my journey, I had forced it on everyone and I got a lot of resistance, and they wanted to eat the stuff that we have always been eating. They didn't understand it. And then I just let up and I did my thing. And then they started seeing changes happen. Instead of pushing it on kids and everyone, I would just do it. And then they see me change. They see me get happier. And then they'd be like, hey, what are you eating? It went on them. And you could even see in the pictures in their faces, like they had lost weight and got healthy, even their complexions, right? So it really does wear off on everyone around you.
Yeah, especially when you start to do it too. Because they didn't even have a chance to say, why aren't we eating this? It was like, no, this is just what it is on the chip. But once you lead by example, which is one of the best things that anybody could do, is just become the person or be the person that you're telling everybody else to be. But then you don't even have to tell them. They're going to see it and they're going to be like, hey, man, so what was up?
That's it, exactly. I think you said it the best there, where I was like, I was telling them and then I just did it. I just do it. And then people will follow in suit. People will absorb it. People will follow in suit, and it will just happen. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And my dad told me that. He was like, if you wanted one thing, one lesson he did teach me, he was like, if you want to be in shape, if you want your woman to be in shape, you need to make sure you're in shape. Because what do I look like? Looking at her like, man, I like fine, slim, nice body type women, curvy women, and you're out here with your stomach out, wobbling. Come on, bro. You think that's going to be attracted to you?
How many men do we see that they like want these like Instagram models and like these, they have this high expectation of these girls, but I'm like, look in the mirror and look at yourself. Like,
right.
Are you bringing that kind of value there? Like, you want a high value woman, go make yourself high value. Start with yourself and then attract that.
Man, bro. And that is, and I can't stress that enough, bro. I learned that when I was 18 years old. And it was this girl. I don't think I had a car at the time, or my car broke down. But this girl that I was talking to, she used to pull up to my house in a brand new Infiniti. Hey, I'm gonna pick you up. Let's go. And I was 18. I was like, "You 18, bro? You driving to be with a girl with a brand new car, and you're from the inner city?
Yeah,
That's,
you're impressed.
bro,
Yeah.
you're hella impressed." And then we got into it or whatever, and she was like, "You need to step your game up." And da 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 da. I was just talking shit, and I'm like, "What the fuck? I'm 18. Like, how am I gonna have a brand new Infiniti?" But then when I talked to my older homeboy, he told me, it was like, "Man, if you want to attract a certain type of woman, you do have to step your game up." And ever since then, I was like, okay, I got it. You know what I mean? You have to make yourself marketable as a man if you want to attract these type of women. Because for me, I used to never understand how a man couldn't attract a woman, keep a woman, let alone complain about women. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, maybe it's because it's you, bro. If that woman doesn't see you improving, trying to be better, conquering, teaching her, giving her wisdom, what interest does she have with you?
Yeah, what value are you providing for her?
Yeah, like,
Right? And you gotta that.
yeah, and it's, oh man, why I beat it up and I buy her this and I buy her that, bro, that's cool, but then it's a lot more than that. It is that, but then you also got to have this.
A lot of guys can provide that. It's those extras, right? What makes you unique, right? That's really confidence is, yeah, I can provide you the basics of what any male can, but I'm like, well, you're never gonna get an experience like this. Right? Like mindset, personality, all those little things, right? Like you said.
Yeah, all of that matters so much, man. And I think I'm gonna have to start getting into men's heads because I thought about this. I broke up with my first daughter's mom, and then I was single, and the next thing you know, like in less than a year, I had a girlfriend. And people were like, "Man, you got a girlfriend already? Wow." Woo, I'm like, bro. And then now that I'm thinking about it as an older man, I'm like, so I was driving a brand new Mercedes. I lived in Redondo Beach, which is a super nice area in LA. If you live there, people gonna be like, "Whoa!" And I
Okay.
lived across the street from the water, and so it was easy for me to attract a high value woman. I had my daughter; I was taking good care of my daughter. Me and my child's mother split the time 50-50. So a woman seeing that is also a leg up. But I'm like, man, this guy is really taking care of his kid. I think I want to have a kid with him because I know that he'll take care of my kids too. My dad told me that. My dad was like, if a woman sees you taking good care of your kids, she's going to want a kid with you too because she already knows what type of person that she has. Because she's going to have a guy that's not going to sell her a dream and, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. If you're doing it, that's going to attract a woman, period. And now that I'm older, I'm like, wow, women really don't even care if you have kids as long as you're taking care of them and you're being a good father. You could have four kids or five, and women will still be like, oh, I still like him. He's a nice guy. He hangs out with his kids, spends time with his family. And it's just like, man, when you're a man, you have to perform so much. It's like, it's so important, man. And Western society just taught us get money and be around, and you could sustain a family and a woman. And I'm like, man, it is so much more than that.
So much more, man. And I like you, I had to learn these lessons the hard way. And it's one of the most valuable things you can learn, right? It's there's so much more than that. Having emotional control, emotional intelligence. Good conversation, understanding, we were talking about like psychology, emotions, being a provider, being a leader. There's a lot to it, and it's been some of the most valuable lessons I've had to learn.
Oh yeah, man. Steadily do research. And I had a conversation with somebody the other day with my friend. I was like, man, back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for a man to just sit in a chair and read a book or read the newspaper or have a library. Oh, I'm about to go to my study and sit there and read or read at night in the bed. It's like men always had to be producers, always have a leg up in knowledge and wisdom, etc. And now it's like all of that is gone. It's like, how are you going to lead your family if you don't have information, knowledge, and wisdom? If you're not growing.
Self-development, man, it's the most attractive quality you can have as a man, right? And you don't It's interesting how you said it. It's you don't have to have it all, but like when you see someone growing and moving in the right direction, like it's super attractive that they're right and always constantly bettering yourself as a man. Like you have to. The world's your competition. Every man is your competition. If you're not taking advantage of those things, if you're not reading, disciplining yourself, practicing self-development, like how many guys out there are 40 pounds overweight, or they're like they're 6'2, blue eyes, but 40 pounds over, they could be a fucking stud and they don't even know. And I'm like, thank God you're not, because I'm like, you blow me out of the water. But I'm like, they don't see their potential, not invested in themselves and the self-development and doing those things, right? And it's small little changes in their life, so very.
Man, bro, I say this all the time. Like, because you can look at, I say I have a little cousin, right? This dude's shoulders are like wide as fuck. And he, I'm like, bro, do you know what kind of person you could be if you started working out? Oh my
Yeah.
God, like you're just naturally, you're like, bro's just naturally just built guy. Like, shoulders are like, I'm like, damn, bro, if I was you, I would be in the gym because you could be out here looking crazy.
Right? Looks at the dumbbells and just gains weight, like puts muscle, right?
Bro, it's man, because some people really aren't honing into their like talents and their gifts. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, you're an artist. Start putting out art, start developing, start producing. Go. You don't have to settle for this lesser opportunity because you lack the confidence. Let's keep pushing, man. Be consistent with it. Be consistent with your gifts. Be healthy. And I tell people, like, you don't have to lift weights. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it for a purpose or whatever. But I do know as a human being, in order to be healthy, you have to move. You know what I mean? It's not just about the aesthetics. It's more so, okay, you have to move to have a long life and survive as a human. We were not brought on this earth to sit down and look at a screen all day. Our ancestors steadily moved.
100%, man, absolutely. And we feel like go do any form of physical movement or exercise, like you're not going to regret it. You're going to feel better always. Even if you don't want to do it, you will feel better. Just like when you drug your brother, right? Like I'm sure when you were done, he felt great.
Oh yeah, man. And then it's if you look at him now versus like when he was in high school, he's a little chubby, and he looks so good. I'm talking about this guy. If you say a stud,
Yeah.
man, oh man, I'm like, what? I'm like, bro, you, it's impossible for you not to have women. Lost weight, chest out, almost a
Must be
six
proud.
pack. I'm like, damn, but such a difference 15 pounds can make. Oh my God.
Man, even 5 pounds. I know, even for me being in shape now, like the difference of 5 pounds is it's insane. And a lot of times, like when I do cut back and lose a little body fat, that's the time when people are really like, oh my God, you're getting huge. Where I'm like, no, the muscle's under here. You're just in the definition now. And that's really, it's an illusion, right? Sometimes cutting down on the weight, honestly, is really going to make you look bigger.
Yeah, I'm at a cut right now, bro, and I absolutely hate it. I love bulking. I was eating waffles every day and pumping the weights hard, man. I loved it. Now that I'm cutting, I'm like, you can't go that hard on the weights because you don't have that much energy because you're not eating that many carbs. But sometimes, some days, I do eat like oatmeal and a sweet potato just so I could get that extra pump, like the low glycemic carbs and stuff like that. But yeah, man, you're definitely right. Because some people be like, man, you got big. And I'm like, I actually lost 8 pounds.
Yeah, the paper, the whole look of it's coming in, really the definition, man. And speaking of that stuff too, that stuff that's really done well for me is watching the certain carbs. Like you said, sweet potatoes, that was one of the biggest things for me. Sweet potatoes. If I could give people a secret, it's sweet potatoes. If you want to lose weight, sweet potatoes is one of the best carbs you can eat. If you actually switch all your carbs for 1 week to sweet potatoes, you will lose almost twice as much weight.
Bro, that's why I lost. I'm at like 200 even. I was at 205. But the only, bro, I went to Costco. I bought three huge bags of sweet potatoes. because I eat them every single day, every
Oh,
day. And you are, bro. I'm telling you, I basically just put them in the pressure cooker, let them sit, and then I eat one and I put the rest in the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? But I have some in my refrigerator ready for me to put in the microwave because it has so much nutrition in sweet potatoes, the magnesium that you need, and the fiber. I'm just like, oh yeah. Because usually when we get fiber, it's from an unhealthy carb source. Because
right.
I was basically like, okay, I need to go high in protein, but it's, man, I need to also get this protein out, but I'm not going to eat bread. I'm not going to eat wheat. What can I eat if that's high in fiber? And I don't want to do that fake fiber stuff like keto fiber and hell no. No, I wasn't doing that. I bought it, but I couldn't drink that stuff, bro. It was weird. And then I was like, I stumbled across a sweet potato. I was like, that's it.
Bam.
Right.
Potatoes, man. They're highly underrated, man. And honestly, so good for so many reasons. And weight loss alone, like being lower glycemic, little difference of just spiking your blood sugar that much less will compound meal after meal, day after day. And that equates into losing more weight over a long period of time.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then just say I put cinnamon and honey on it, right, to sweeten it up. But
Yes.
people don't understand that a cinnamon is anti-inflammatory. So it's, that's getting all the inflammation, maybe water weight, I don't know. That could be it too, out of your body. And then honey is a natural sweetener with antioxidants and all that other stuff in it. So I was like, wow, I created this food that's super delicious to me, but also super nutritious at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I could eat a sweet potato every day, three times a day. But it was, I was just, wow. So I actually found a little cheat code.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like how you
Yeah.
make it, like that's a superfood with the cinnamon and the honey, all whole foods, little gem, right? And you can make them savory or sweet. Like I honestly may, I'll blend them into my shake like that and have a sweet potato pie kind of shake.
Oh wow, that's a good idea.
Yeah, man, you could really, there's some
I never
gems, man.
did. Yeah, because I put eggs in my shake and that really makes it good. But yeah, man, I learned that through trial and error, man. Okay, sweet potato, what's this? It's just so much knowledge accumulated over the years. Whereas I tell people that want to get fit or work out, it's, man, you're paying for somebody to basically give you all of the information that they accumulated over 10 years, like right then and there.
That's a cheat code.
That is the ultimate cheat. And I tell people, I'm like, the way I got how I got wasn't because of, it really wasn't because of me. It's because of the people that I had around me. If you're at the gym and the IFBB pro walks up to you and says, man, you're doing that shit wrong. This is how you want to do. You want to do this. You want to extend the muscle. You want to, okay, you want to push back here. No, your arms aren't positioned right. Tuck your elbow in like this. Okay, now you feel it? Yeah. All right. You know what I'm saying? Bro, I
Boom.
had no idea it was so much into fitness and working out until I worked out with the pros, bro. Oh
And
my
those,
God.
hey, like just tiny little changes, and it's crazy. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice I could give to people is it is such a cheat code to hire someone. Like you said, I'm like me starting this journey, and I'm sure the same thing for you. Like there wasn't tons of knowledge. Like you had to get it from people. Like this stuff wasn't just on Google like it is now, or people teaching it. Like it was years of trial and error for me, where I'm like, I've tried everything. Where that's when people, what about this? What about this? I'm like, no, this is what works. And they're like, I'm busy. I'm like, hey, I've done it all. There's no excuse you could give me that I haven't had myself. And there's nothing that I haven't tried. So I can tell you what works. It took me 5 years to figure it out. So that's a real cheat code is finding people with the results you want and paying them to show you how to get them.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I used to be on bodybuilding.com. I used to buy the men's health magazines. I used to do it all, man. Like, I'm gonna learn it on my own. And
Yeah.
all of that stuff was some bullshit.
Absolutely, man.
All of it,
That's
bro. All of, literally all of it. I thought I was an expert because I just been doing all this research on my own. Then when I started working with other people, I'm like, what? They
yeah,
never talked.
results.
Yeah, they never said this in bodybuilding.com. They just said, do 3 sets of 10 of this.
Yeah,
You
it's a
know?
little bit with the night.
way more.
Man, I honestly I wasted a lot of time just listening to so many different things and oh, go this way. And then I'm like, then I listened to my body and I found the right blueprint, which is number one is tracking my macros, training in a hypertrophy specific style, and creating systems to keep myself accountable and disciplined. And those three things are what works. And it's not like those things work for everyone, but you have to work.
Yeah, man, that's absolutely true, man. Because I pay people to consult me, all of that. And I just find so much value. I'm like, I look at it like this. Instead of me sitting over here reading all this information, doing all of this stuff, I'm just finding somebody that already did it and tell me how to do it. And I'm going
Cheat
to
code.
save hours and I'm
Cheat
going
code.
to do it the right way.
Years, man, years. That's the biggest thing. And I've been working with mentors as well. And I'm like, as like the first one I work with, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I will continue this the rest of my life, especially me as a coach. I'm like, hey, hire me to tell you what to do. So I'm like, why am I not doing that in all aspects of my life? And I started doing it. I'm like, oh my, I will continue to be mentored the rest of my life because I want to grow and to hire someone that has the results that you want. They're gonna say they've done it, made every single mistake. So I'm like, they're gonna save you like years of trial and error, time and frustration, and possibly even giving up by just following the blueprint they have. And that's what I do as a program is give you the blueprint that works. That took me 5 years of trial and error to figure
Yeah. That's
invaluable.
yeah. Yeah, man. 'Cause I also say this, I'm like, one person was like, oh no, man, I'm not gonna work out with you, I'm gonna work out with my boy. And I was like, look at him and look at me.
Yeah, your boy doesn't know what he's doing, man.
Come on, bro. Like, seriously. Oh, he played football. That's not this, bro. Like, this isn't that, bro. It's a totally different
Looks like a
thing.
football.
Yeah, that's on me. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, okay. But I'm just very critical about it's like if I listen to you, I have to actually see it. You know what I'm saying?
100%, man. I totally agree. And now, what we see now, especially with the internet and Instagram, is like how many people they know how to replicate what to say. But I'm like, I could see you're not living what you're saying. You don't have the results to back it, right? Crazy to me for people to pay. You'll see if you go in the commercial gyms and they hire these trainers there, where I'm like, I don't care what degree you have or what piece of paper. I'm like, you're not in shape. I'm like, you don't listen to you.
They're never in shape.
No, it's insane. I'm like, you're gonna pay this guy to tell you how to get in shape when he doesn't even listen to himself. How's
Right.
he gonna get you to listen to him? So
Nah, that's bro. Every bro there, but it's crazy because I say if I'm in a gym and I'm working out and a trainer sees me and they're with their client, they start to look intimidated. You know what I mean? Because their client is looking at me like, damn, and they're looking at me like, fuck, you better not say anything. But yeah, bros, and I remember going to a gym and they're like, yeah, you could work out with a trainer. And I was like, all right, well, I'll see what's up. Okay, let's do a fitness test. Passed it. It was like, yeah, man, I'm not even gonna deal with you. But that's one of my telltale signs, man, because it's like, and I honestly don't like, I never liked their style. Even when I watched them work out with people, I'm like, how is this a push? They're not even putting forth that much effort. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, bro, this isn't even real tension. You know what I'm saying?
work, man. Yeah.
Yes. When I work out with people, it's like, all right, come on, do three more. Let's go. Okay. You can't do it. Okay. I'm gonna work with you. And you're just like, fuck, man. You know what I
Intense.
mean? Yeah. It's like you really getting drilled. Okay. Matter of fact, now I want you to do a 20-second hold. You're like, fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you would be like, fuck, I hate you right now.
Yeah, like it
You
goes from that to fuck this. I'm not gonna be defeated. I'm not gonna let this person punk me. Whatever you bring at me, I'm gonna conquer it.
I love it, man. And I respond well to that. I have that same, like, how you're saying about the alpha, where I'm like, I respond well to that. Call me on my shit. I'm like, I might not like it, but I'm like, there's no quit. I'm like, let's go. I'm here. I'm gonna fight through it. I'm gonna show you.
Bro, if I show you the guy that I worked out with for 4 years straight, I'm talking like it started off with me. Matter of fact, I was introduced to him by my friend. My friend was like, fuck that. I'm not gonna work out with this guy. 'Cause he went, bro, I'm talking about the first day I worked out with him. My boy said, hey man, come to the gym, man. We're gonna work out with my guy. And the dude didn't know me, so he was standoffish. But then he was like, I'm gonna try to break this motherfucker. And you know, I'm talking about big. He just got out of prison, all of that. And we were doing dips, and he put four plates on my leg, like the weighted dips when your feet is up and you're on the bench. The first work, I was like, what the fuck? But I kept coming, bro. I was like, nah,
No
I'm not
way.
gonna let this person break me. And if you were to see like how I look then versus how I look now, dramatic difference, bro. Dramatic difference. It's like night and day. People that I start, say I went to a gym and then they see me now, they're like, what the fuck? You never know your own progress. People have to tell you, you're gonna think that you're like not good, but then when somebody you ain't seen in 3 years see you, they're gonna be like, whoa, man, you were chubby. Now look at you, know what I'm saying? But it's to me, working out with somebody that's gonna challenge you is so important, man.
100%, man. You really need that. Someone to bring it out of you and respond well to that. Just being called out like that and pushed. And I think as men, we need that.
Yeah, that's the only way. Didn't they see 300? You know what I'm saying? Nobody was like, that's why I don't like this co the commercial, because it's like they was like it's not real. You know what I'm saying? It's
No, sometimes you just got to get in there and with that attitude and just get the shit done.
yeah, seriously, and push yourself to the limit, man. It definitely takes a shift in mindset that I feel like other people have to bring out of you. You know what I'm saying? Because they already have it. And I feel like you're more so in there developing a mindset and a thought pattern from somebody else that you're now inheriting. You know what I'm saying?
That's really what it is. That's the difference. Because I'm like, it's developing that mindset and thinking how they think. That's how they got those results, is their mind.
Man, it's all the mind. All the mind, because trust me, the way I used to work out then versus now, it's I used to be like, oh, I've been working, I'm used to curling with the 30s. I'm gonna just get the 30s and do this, and okay, I'm done. You know what I mean? Now I'm like, oh, fuck that. I need to get the 40s now. All right,
Oh, that's
you
my book.
feel me? Like now I'm gonna get the 50s today. Oh, you know
See,
what I
bro, you're getting
mean?
fired up right now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's so you gotta it's such a shift, man. It's this motherfucker did this. Nah, fuck that. I'm gonna try to deadlift 500 today. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get my mind. And it's crazy because say the guy I worked out with, when he would be lifting the weights, his eyes and everything will change, bro. Like he became like a totally different person. And you could see his eyes just get crazy. And then I'm like, what is he tapping into? And he's like, that's the problem. You're not tapping in. You got to do this, man. You got, I'm like, bro, I'm trying to push the weight. He was like, it's not the weight. It's your mind. It's like, how you thinking about it? It's not about that. And I was like, well, what the fuck? But now I'm like, it isn't. It was never the weight. It was my approach and my mentality. You know what I'm saying? Where it was
100%.
like, bro, like yesterday I was in the gym and one of my female friends, women are soft and pleasant, so sometimes you give in. But say she was like trying to talk to me and I was doing some shoulder presses with probably like shit, like 130 each shoulder, you know, just going up. And she and like I couldn't see her, and she just basically was like, okay, I'm gonna leave him alone. 'Cause I couldn't even, you know, I knew she was there, but I was like, I couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, to get in the zone, that's like the dojo. You get in the gym and it's just go
Yeah.
focus.
Yeah, it was like I can't see you. I can't hear you right now. I'm like so locked in, bro. And it was like, wow, I really developed that, 'cause I'm sure any other guy would have been like, "Oh, hey, how you doing?"
No, and that's attractive where you're just like, no, I'm here on a mission. I'm doing me and I'm working.
Yeah, man.
Other
Definitely. And one of the only reasons why I know that you could relate to is because I see your physique. There's no way you don't have that mentality looking like that. You know what I'm saying? No fucking way.
Oh no, you get that. Yeah, like you, it's a real, recognized real. I got, you have to develop that mindset.
Yeah.
like kill or be killed. Like I'm pushing it to the edge. How far can I push myself? Like just to bring out that masculinity, like just that the hunger, man. You got to be hungry.
Yeah, definitely do, man. Man, it's been a great conversation. It's feel like I'm talking to a friend.
Likewise, man.
Yeah, this has been great, man. Matthew, where can people find you at?
So the best place to find me is Instagram, and that's legacy_of_Pescara.
How do you spell Pescara for people that probably wouldn't know?
Okay, so Pescara is Pescara. That is where my family is from in Italy.
Oh, cool.
So I would actually like to end telling that story.
Go ahead.
So I got that the legacy of Pescara because developing that mindset, like a lot of times it would be when I was on the Stairmaster, right? And you get tired after your workout, you get the bitch voice, you're like, oh, that's good enough. And then was talking to my nona, saying, hey, how did we come over to Canada and finding out some of the stories? And it turns out my great uncle was actually a prisoner in Nazi Germany. Okay, so he had escaped and brought five guys with him. Okay. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I'm like, how did they get home? This is a weird question to ask. And then she's, oh, they walked. And I'm like, oh. And then I thought about it later, like Germany to Italy. I'm like, they walked through the Swiss Alps. I'm like, I couldn't survive a night outside, man. So like when I'm on the stair climber and I want to give up and or I'm working out, like I just think of these motherfuckers like crossing the Swiss Alps to get home. I'm like, they did not do that for you to give up after 20 minutes here.
Bro, that is so powerful. Knowing where you came from, you know what I'm saying? That's actually in you. You know what I'm saying? That legacy is literally in you. And I often remind myself, it's nah, man. Like I look at my ancestors every day. I have a mural at my house. I look at my grandparents that passed every single day. And I think about what they went through. And I'm like, man, you better shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You
Stop.
know?
Yeah. Never heard them complain.
Ever. Like you could literally order food from your cell phone right now. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, quit being a bitch, right? And we off with the modern technology. So it is nice to reflect on that, like how tough they were and how far they came from. So that's great, man.
Powerful, man. Powerful, man. Matthew, it's been a great conversation, bro. Thank you for being a part of the Militant Grind podcast, man, and sharing your story. I really appreciate that.
Likewise, brother.
All right.
Appreciate you.
No doubt.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.